gentlemen, our national anthem.
Round to your lounge.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
Men, put your hands together for Clyde Lewis of the Ground Zero Lounge.
Thank you all for coming out to the Ground Zero Lounge tonight. Give yourselves a loud round of applause because we've got to hear it on the internet tonight because, of course, Bill Coons is videotaping. Give him a big round of applause for doing that. We're on Google Video. I'd like to thank James of MediaMonarchy.com, who has been extra careful in getting the shows up as soon as possible now that we've had them videotaped and all the other sound and everything else is going with it. We're very excited that the shows are getting out there and a lot of great comments being left behind by a lot of people who are watching the show saying that they think that the shows are right on the money. And it's funny because I was noticing we did the show about genetics last week. I came home that night, and two stories were on my MSN notebook. One was designer babies, and the other one was the Octomom. Why we're so concerned about the Octomom. And, of course, I don't know how many people have heard by applause that Obama has now lifted the ban on stem cell research. All about, yes, by applause. How many people heard that? A few of you. So, I mean, but he did make sure that there are no clones, okay? We're not going to clone anyone. It's because we don't want more people, you see. It's easy to make more people by doing this in vitro fertilization. You make more people by cloning. And cloning really isn't a bad thing because, I mean, I've done shows about cloning. I did a show a long time ago called Evil Clone Evil, where I talked about how every time you hear about a clone in science fiction, it's always an evil clone. It's never a nice clone. All clones are unstable and evil. Well, I mean, I hate to be a twin right now because they are clones, really. They're natural clones. And so, you know, if you're afraid of cloning and if you're afraid of whether or not they're going to have a soul, just take a look at your twin brother or twin sister. And I don't think you'd be sitting there saying, "I don't think my twin brother or twin sister have no souls." So I don't know why everybody has a fear of clones. I think cloning is interesting. Stem cell research is good, especially for people who have genetic problems, people who can't walk, people who need to have that kind of stuff done. However, universal health care will not cover the cloning stem cell research procedure. So that's one of those things. Yes, we are lifting the ban on stem cells, but who's that going to benefit? It's going to benefit the rich. It's going to benefit those who have the money to pay for it. So, you know, it's kind of like nice, you feel all good about it, but who's going to have the money to do that, especially when you're out of work, you don't have insurance or health care. So it's interesting to see how the stories are unfolding. We talk about them here at the Ground Zero Lounge. Another story that came out that Texas is looking for emergency assistance because of drought. California has also declared a state of emergency because of the drought. Brian Kennedy, who was here in the audience 3 weeks ago, it was 3 weeks ago, when we first talked about MK Agricultura, the first one we did where we talked about how this is all a big psyop to get people worried about the food supply, that we have food poisoning and contamination going on. We have all kinds of things going on that make you wonder if the food supply is safe. So tonight, as promised, we are doing a follow-up to the show we did 2 weeks ago about food poisoning, food contamination. And I brought out a big gun tonight to come be on the show to talk about this. He couldn't make it last week, but he's making it this week. We're going to call him up to the stage now. We're going to hear from him in a little bit. Jeff Colley, who is the vice president of Northwest Analytical. He's here tonight. Come on up here, Jeff. Give him a big hand. And Jeff's going to sit right here, and he's going to observe a little bit. And then he's going to come up and talk to you a little bit about the good, the bad, and the ugly regarding food. And he will tell you a little bit about his background as well, why he is an expert on this, what happened when he was in Beijing, how he talked to the people in Beijing about what's going on, and the complexities that exist in monitoring food and foodstuffs, and why it's so important that we keep and pay attention to this. Even you organic people who believe in organic eating and vegetarians, pay attention, because it's going to be a show where you're going to have to really, really be selective with your foods. Tonight's show is, like I said, a follow-up to the last show. We talked about food. This one is called Mood Poisoning and the New Food Order. And kind of borrowed the new food order from James and Media Monarchy. I thought it was a brilliant way of putting it. In fact, I'm going to be on his show Friday the 13th. I'm also going to be on CW with Rick Emerson. I'm going to do a taping tomorrow at 8 a.m. So I'll be on that show as well. And just go to the websites and figure out. And another thing, too, big congratulations to Rick Emerson. He announced today that he's moving his show to KUFO FM. And Tim Riley is back as well, which I thought was great. I kind of felt bad that, yeah, Tim is back. So good for Rick. And we made the announcement nationally, Rick. So there you go. You can take that. Anyway, let's start off by doing a little bit of review. Last week, we revisited the new outcry for eugenics and Genome 666, the subject of breeding and feeding, and how the Trilateral Commission was created partly to create a new international economic order. Its current statement has morphed into fostering a closer cooperation among these core democratic industrialized areas of the world with shared leadership responsibilities in the wider international system. The global plan for all countries is to live on the level of third world nations. Economic sustainability can be achieved through a process known as endgame strategies, and we talked about the endgame strategies, which include controls on ecological systems, also controls on your food, your water, the air, and I'm not kidding when I say air, it's weird. The agenda would severely limit water, electricity, and transportation, even deny human access to our most treasured wilderness areas. It would monitor all lands and people through tracking, scientific measures, biometrics, and of course, as we talked about last week, eugenics, which the directives are coming down, and you start seeing the processes take place with these genetic stories, and you're hearing about food stories. These are not by coincidence. These are happening by design. It's to keep you aware and on your toes about global sustainability. Global warming is what they call it. Global sustainability is the reality. Whether or not we can keep 6 to 9 billion people on this planet, whether or not we have to reduce the population in order to keep this planet sustainable. Now, if we have anything tonight, by the way, if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, we have two microphones, one over here and one over here. If you have anything to say, sometimes I can't hear you from the audience. I'd rather you come to the microphones when we talk about it. If you want to debate with anyone, you can debate with them. Also, Jeff is here to answer any of your questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions, because this is a lot of stuff and a lot of heavy stuff that we cover. So keep that in mind. As we see food shortages happening in the world and concerns over hunger here in the United States, consumer confidence has dropped to 20%. And as food sources from pet food, infant formula, and peanut butter have been contaminated with chemicals and bacteria, more and more people are losing confidence in the foods they eat. I mean, one thing like peanut butter is going to scare everyone, especially peanut butter that has been shipped out and basically kept bad for a longer period of time, and how people have gotten sick from eating it, and how a lot of people didn't know it was because they were eating contaminated food. We're going to see a decline in crops, as we had mentioned, with the Arnold Schwarzenegger declaring a disaster area in California. Crops are going to be very expensive once we find out just what the drought is going to do to them. That's why Governor Schwarzenegger has declared an emergency. Not just that, but we got to also think about insect infiltrations. We need to think about money that is being used to transport these goods and whether or not it's cost-effective to do so. You know, a lot of food can sit in rotten warehouses for long periods of time because no one can deliver it. And so we need to also take that into consideration, that there's going to be a lot of things happening. We remember a long time ago with Katrina and how ConAgra had a hard time moving their foods across the Mississippi after Katrina happened. A lot of those foods went bad. And we're starting to see a lot of economic slowdowns because of food shortages and food problems. We talked about this years ago. It's now happening. You hear the thunder in the distance, and you know the storm is coming. And this is why you're here at the Ground Zero Lounge, to prepare you for this, so you are not you're not sidetracked. You're not taken by surprise and saying, I didn't know this was going to come. What am I supposed to do? Well, you prepare. You start preparing with food. You start preparing with water. You start preparing with a number of things, growing your own if you can. As long as they don't outlaw growing gardens, you're in a pretty good situation. As you can see in this article, it says world to face water shortages by 2025. You see, this article, once again, brings up the agenda of water. You know, when I was talking about food and water and air, these are the agendas that they want to frighten you over. There won't be enough water on the planet by 2025. Of course there won't be. Although the planet is two-thirds water. And I'm sure they can find ways. They're already finding ways to filter sewage. I don't understand how we can be so low. I mean, there are countries that are going to be facing water shortages because of where they're located. But, of course, we've got Monsanto and other groups who will be able to truck in the water. And once again, as I said, those who have the guns control the food, control the water, control the weather and the air and everything else. Go ahead, Sarah.
I just want to clarify something because I once heard a radio host talk about how he couldn't understand how there could be a water shortage because the Earth was like a big terrarium and the water doesn't go anywhere. He's right. The shortage is of clean water. And that's what Clyde's saying about filtering sewage and stuff, but you can only filter so long before what you're filtering through is just as dirty as what you're trying to filter through it. So there will be a shortage of clean water and a shortage of usable water in crops or anything else. And so just in case anyone's a purist and wants to say what the radio host said, that is the explanation.
Well, and I agree partly with that. I just know that the frightening part is that water, when it is controlled and when it is sold, you'll be buying it from companies that that are controlling it, like Monsanto and several other companies. I mean, you've got companies like beer companies who shipped in water during the Katrina thing. I mean, Budweiser showed up with their water trucks and show up with beer, much to the unhappiness of some of the people there in the area of New Orleans, but they showed up with water because clean water is hard to come by in certain emergencies and disasters, and those are some things that, you know, of course, they want to control, and they will control it if you're not prepared. If you have your own water, you'll be fine. Barack Obama has said that times of crisis should bring about new and great opportunities. We have been able to determine that this is a classic Hegelian model of problem, reaction, solution. All the things that we're talking about. You have a problem, you try to get a reaction from the people, and then they come up with a solution. It's kind of like a forced card. You're going to say, well, there's a solution. Why don't we start sending the water in from Monsanto? Why don't we start sending in the water from all these other companies? We'll pay higher taxes. We'll do all these things to protect us from the horrible, horrible shortages of food and water when self-sustainability is just as important as global sustainability. Okay? We talk about how we're going to save the planet. Why don't we talk about how we're individually going to save ourselves? I mean, I was talking with my girlfriend just the other day about recycling. And yes, I do believe that we should do our part to have some sustainability. We should do our part to try and conserve a lot of things. However, I wish that they would not sit there and lie to us about things like climate change and other science, pseudoscience, and scaring us into believing that we're all going to die, that we're all going to have these problems, because I kind of believe along the lines of Michael Crichton before he passed away when he wrote that book where he said that if you're in a power and authority, you tell a civilization that it's going to die, chances are it's going to die. And for the longest time, when Chernobyl happened, they were saying that several people were all going to die, 500,000 people were all going to die, doom, gloom, doom, gloom, doom, gloom. And the doom and gloom didn't happen as bad as they said it would. However, they projected the worst, and then people saw the reality. Well, a lot of times we do project the worst. Then the reality happens, and we say, well, we can deal with that because it's happening slowly. That's why I always tell people, even though I talk about some of these things, I always tell you, you're going to die a boring death, most of you. Wars have happened. Rumors of wars have happened. We've gone through several world wars, even a nuclear explosion in Japan, and still to this day, people are dying natural and boring deaths. I don't know if we're ever going to see a day when an asteroid's going to hit the planet, although we did have a close call about 40,000 miles just last week. But in the meantime, we have to keep living, and we have to live good, and we have to plan. We plan for those things, and we hope for the best. That's what needs to go on. And so like Obama says, in times of crisis, we can come up with great opportunities. Many crises are turning up everywhere, and they attack our resources. Sometimes they even attack our mental resources. They've been exploited with heightened fear levels. How many people have heard these fear levels on television and say to, oh my God, what am I going to do? By applause. How many people have heard the fear levels? Nobody's heard them? They're everywhere. They tell you, the money's going to be gone. This is going to be gone. That's going to be gone. And a lot of people, they don't care. A lot of people don't care because they think it's not going to hit the United States as hard as what's been projected. And a lot of people have downplayed it and made fun of it. This is why it's important to pay attention to it and know what can happen and know what may happen. Go ahead, Alex. Alex Ansari, ladies and gentlemen, from Outside the Box. Give him a hand, too. He does a great show on public access. Go ahead, Alex.
Great topic tonight, Clyde. I'm going to try to make this short, under a minute. I just want to make an announcement, and it kind of dovetails with what you're saying about food quality and food safety. Real briefly, there's going to be some naval war game drills that are going to be kicking off the coast of Oregon, California, Idaho, and Washington. And I'll get to how it's going to affect the food in just a minute. People haven't really been told about the environmental impact of it through fear, Clyde. They're saying they have to shell out in the ocean, increase missiles fired by 470%. They're also talking about things like the potential of depleted uranium being used, white and red phosphorus, and this is Navy jurisdiction over land, sea, and air. So it actually has a land jurisdiction extending all the way to Idaho, including the state of Idaho. The food element, Clyde, pertains to, through the use of sonar, all the salmon that are going to die through fear of saying we need to test and expand sonar and things of that nature. So this is a big, big issue. I just want to mention real quick, if someone does want to call their local representatives, I'm not saying it's going to change anything, but 3/11/09 coming up in a couple days, that's it. Then there is no particular end date after that, after the public has a chance to comment. But, Clyde, they've been real quiet about it. The Navy just, print a couple small little things. So I just wanted to make sure people are aware of that. And you're going to see more MH-6 choppers in Portland because that was run by the Navy.
Exactly. So now, very good. There's going to be more black helicopters in Portland. Just want to let you know. And also there's been troop movement seen all over the area. Beaverton just had some troop movement the other day. They were loading tanks and all kinds of other equipment onto the trains out there in Beaverton. It was funny, I got a text that was going on. I had a friend of mine who drives cab who was stuck behind it, and he said it was very, very weird. And a lot of other people said, oh, don't mind it. They're just doing, the National Guard's doing some sort of a drill. But one of the guys asked the question, what are you guys doing? It says, we are here to deploy and then to go. So they were there doing a drill for some reason. So National Guard, military, whatever, it's always odd to see these things going on in a city, especially during, quote, peacetime here in the United States. Over there is where we see a lot of that, but here you don't see it, and it's really weird the way this is going on. They're preparing for something. We're preparing for something, whether it be food, economic, money, or whatever. We're preparing for it. We need to be aware that this is happening. One would think that with all the money, with all the trillions of dollars the U.S. government spends, the least it could do is protect Americans' food supply. And the regulatory agencies in charge of inspecting food manufacturers has been so weakened over the past 8 years that much of the work has been left to private inspection agencies hired by the food companies themselves. Some of them don't even have visits from the food inspectors for long periods of time, so they have superior ratings that last years and years and years. With profit as the bottom line, the quality of these inspections leaves a lot to be desired. The most recent food safety catastrophe deals with the contamination of peanut products from the Blakely, Georgia plant of the Peanut Corporation of America. We're going to talk more of that with Jeff in just a minute. You're going to hear more about what happened with that and why it's so bad. In a March 27, 2008 report by the American Institute of Baking, the food safety level at the plant was rated superior. In fact, the plant was highly tainted with salmonella, and the Peanut Corporation of America had been shipping poisoned peanut products during that time. Those poison peanut products were in the marketplace for at least a year, maybe more, before they were even detected as being poisonous or full of salmonella bacteria. So this is how it runs in corporate America. They were shipping the poison peanut products, and by the time federal investigators finally caught up with the problem, 9 people were thought to have died, and an estimated 22,500 were made sick by the salmonella poisoning from the Peanut Companies of America. In another particularly grotesque example as well, the Westland Hallmark Meat Company of Chino, California, managed to pass 17 separate audits in 2007, despite the fact that they were forcing diseased cows into their slaughterhouses. The scandal was not revealed until an undercover investigator who obtained work at the Westland facility released a video of the illegal activities, and some of the meat was being sent to the national school lunch programs. Now, Jeff is going to have something to say about that, as well as going to give you the facts behind that and what happened. And this, you'll find out, is a form of terrorism. And we'll give you, we're not going to say it's terrorism in the Islamic Muslim sense or in the way, as George Bush says, this isn't the terrorism we're looking for, but it was terrorism the way it was exploited and giving fear. The last report we did about the subject of food as a weapon covered the possibility of terrorism being carried out by contaminating food. With the globalization of agribusiness, it would not be out of the question to see some of the foods coming from other countries on our dinner tables. We see Spain now has reported the fifth human death because of Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease or mad cow disease. This is where you eat this and you eat meat and you get this from the meat, from the cows. And that's happened. In fact, my grandmother died of that. So, and it was not reported by the health department because they were afraid of getting that from a crisis. But if you look at our death certificate, it does say bovine spongiform encephalopathy. And yes, she did get it from Europe. That's where she was when she contracted it. The list of potential unconventional weapons and methods of simple terrorism have been published by alphabet agencies ad infinitum, but the new terror threats are to the food and water. They're also being carried out, and they're being called unconventional ways to create terror. Unconventional ways to get the economy to fall apart. Unconventional ways to see people lose confidence in what they buy. Stimulus packages can come and go, but if people don't want to get off their asses and buy anything, we are going to see a slowdown of the economy. And if people lose confidence in the food they eat, that's one of the main things people buy, is food. And if they can't buy food with confidence, then we have a bigger problem altogether. And so they have to, you know, come up with new ways to take care of the terror that people have, to change it. Water and food supply terror models are the most complicated and the hardest to solve because food contamination sources and methods are you... what? Oh, okay. You guys are applauding that? Okay. Yeah, the diarrhea, the diarrhea, the color code. Brown, yellow, puke, Pepto-Bismol, lavender, I don't know. Anyway, water and food supply terror models are the most complicated and the hardest to solve because food contamination sources and methods appear to be naturally occurring. Bacterial and chemical contaminants have happened regularly in food supplies. It happens all the time, and that's why it's hard to track it. It's hard to find the genealogy of the food or to go back. So that's why they call it an unconventional way of terror. It's also the old school way of terror. You remember we talked about the Palestinian situation back in 1978 where Palestinians had claimed that they injected Israeli oranges and citrus fruits with mercury, making people sick or making little children sick. So, yeah, you want to say something about that?
Oh, on that, that's how they killed Wadi Haddad.
Really?
They injected chocolate with a bacteria that killed him in 1977 after the OPEC thing.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Oh, thank you for that. Give him a hand. I didn't know that. That's interesting. I mean, injecting chocolate. We talked about the Ukrainian president who also had dioxins put in his food. Go ahead.
And a small fact, 31% of the foods they tested at like a place like Safeway or Fred Meyer, the stuff that includes high fructose corn syrup, 31% of it contains traces of mercury. New study.
Oh, I heard about that. I didn't even, you know, I've been wanting to talk about that, and I haven't even gotten around to it.
They did a European study or a different study that said 45%. And so there's one that says 45 and one that says 31.
Right. Okay. So mercury content in high fructose corn syrup, that's not good because a lot of people feed their kids high fructose corn syrup. And when it has that kind of mercury in there, it can really be a horrible thing. The Rosh Nishi bioterror attack. How many people remember that? You're all from Oregon, right? Yeah. Bhagwan Rosh Nish, they went and they contaminated salad bars in the Dalles, and they had about 750 people that were infected by this. This was the first bioterror attack in the United States. It was one of two, actually. I think the other one was the Tylenol scare, and we just had the 25th anniversary of that just recently, and they had a suspect, apparently, they went after. I find that very coincidental, by the way. They were the 25th anniversary of the Tylenol scare. Now we're having all these scares about contaminants in food. The attack is one of only two confirmed terrorist cases in the United States using food supplies, and they were trying to do it to get people to change an election. One of the latest stories that I just uncovered or that I just found in the news, in fact, I found it on the internet long before I found it in the newspaper. It was in the, I think, the Saturday Oregonian, talked about the fat duck, which is a very, very prominent and important restaurant in the U.K., and apparently, the guy who runs the place, his name is Blumenthal, said, I don't know how this is happening because we run one of the cleanest operations in the UK, and 400 people were poisoned. 400 people were poisoned by the food or by something It was being served at the Fat Duck. Go ahead.
Just to go back to the high fructose corn syrup, only in the last couple months has the high fructose corn syrup industry started commercials on how it's safe and equivalent to sugar. And those commercials have been playing with more and more rapidity lately. Oh, yeah, the Super Bowl. I just saw a new one the other day on TV.
Go ahead and get on this microphone, Alex. Now, okay, go ahead and stay there. Stay there while he's talking. Hold on. What are you going to say?
So I was just going to describe the commercial.
Right.
So the woman and the man are speaking, and he's saying to his girlfriend, I thought you loved me. What do you mean, well, you're offering me a high fructose corn syrup lollipop? And it's red, symbolizing sex and shaped like a penis. And she's like, oh, silly. What are your facts? As she kind of flips the red lollipop in his direction.
Right.
He's like, I guess I don't have any facts. Oh, I didn't think so.
Well, there's
fructose
also the
syrup.
One with
it's
the,
great
the
for
mothers.
You and the whole family. End of commercial. Back to the game.
What's that?
There's also the one with the two mothers, like at the soccer game.
Yes, the two mothers.
And the mom talking about, but isn't that bad for my child? And the other mother going, why, no, it's just as good as sugar. And the equivalence of, you know, calories and
enough mercury
whatnot.
To make you, like, rise up in a hot temperature.
The whole thing is a little horrifying.
Anyway, Clyde,
yeah.
that came out a couple days after that mercury report I just mentioned came out. So first the report came out with the facts, and then
the commercials
commercial.
To save face. Oh, good. PR works, doesn't it? Go ahead.
Just on that one more thing about the juice, like Ocean Spray juice, it's so hard to differentiate between 100% juice to the cocktail, which has a high fructose corn syrup in it.
Right.
They're almost identical. I mean, like, you could just pull it off the shelf and think you're buying one thing and you've bought the other thing.
Right.
And so they, you know, try to trick you with it.
Also, another thing I find interesting, and I hope I had nothing to do with it, there was actually a scare that went on where somebody had mixed chlorine with acid, creating a vapor fume in some hospital. I think it was in Denver. So some guy was taking notes at the Ground Zero Lounge a couple weeks ago. I was talking about food as a weapon. So I hope it wasn't him doing that. It was just an accident, I guess. Regardless of your definition of terrorism, food tampering is terrorism without political purpose. It is it's usually done to weaken economic progress and to sabotage products in order to restrict consumer confidence. It's hard to track any food contamination to organized terrorism because of the conspiracy of silence. Since our last report on food tampering and the economy, consumer confidence has dropped, foodstuffs are now under scrutiny, and the FDA and the Obama administration are being pressured to pay out more money for food security. The only thing that's bad about that is that when the FDA gets money, do they put it towards food? No, they put it towards drug testing. That's more important. A lot of less money is spent on food testing and things of that nature, and they basically want to get you the best drugs because, of course, drugs clear up salmonella and stuff like that.